So today we are going to talk about response ability. We had a little tap in the other day about this, and it's something that we all really have to work with in our daily lives. Responsibility, language, linguistics, responsibility. And when we look at responsibility, like we talked about the other day, there's a lot of surface level ideas about responsibility of actually like going after being responsible, or actually telling yourself to be responsible to do something. And today I really want to dive into what the unconscious aspects of responsibility mean when we're acting from responsibility and not noticing after or predetermining us to be responsible for something. Because when we put that energy out there, I need to be responsible, what we actually are telling ourselves is that we might not be responsible. So maybe there's an opportunity for us to respond differently. I do things personally in my life where I don't think about responsibility, but I'm responsible doing them. It's kind of an unconscious thing. So, you know, when we brush our teeth, we're being responsible, I guess. You know, I don't say that I'm being responsible when I brush my teeth. I think I've already done it long enough. But it is also something that we might recognize when we're desire to be responsible for something, that there may be some sort of lesson there, or some sort of energetic there that allows us to pay a little bit more attention to what we're going into or what we're doing, right? Because the energetics of wanting to be responsible for something, you know, highlight that it's of importance to us, or maybe importance to someone else. And it requires a certain level of quality and attention and trust, like we talked the last podcast. Being responsible, or wanting to be responsible, you know, we also need to trust aspects of ourselves to be able to walk into that.
It's a good way to start off. You brought up something interesting there right off the bat. You know, that there's this layer of importance to these responsibilities, something that we feel responsible for. So the way I see it with responsibility is it's we get to be responsible. You know, it's otherwise, because if we didn't have responsibility, especially as men, what would we really be doing? What would we really have to show in our life? It would be pretty empty and pretty meaningless. So responsibility, the way I see it, is kind of a gift. We get to do it. We get to do these things that we're, you know, responsible for: our ability to respond to life, our ability to respond in certain situations, our ability to respond for the people that are, you know, important or meaningful. And it's, we get to do it. It's almost like a privilege or a gift, because I look at it as the opposite. If we didn't have responsibility, if I didn't have responsibility in my life, what the fuck would I actually be doing? You know, it'd be pretty empty and pretty meaningless. And I see it as we get responsibility is the opportunity to give life meaning with the things that we see what's meaningful in our life, and we get to do these things. How does that land for you, Ryan?
I like that. I like that you're throwing out the responsibility is a gift. And what it made me think of is the old Alan Watts. He talks about, it's not responsibility, but it's giving trust. And it's like, when you give trust to somebody, fully trust somebody, you can actually, you're giving them the opportunity to be responsible for what you give them. But when you give somebody trust, but you don't really trust them, the energetics are there. You don't actually give them that responsibility. And there's a feeling there, you know, like when you've been working with somebody that's been responsible for a long time, and you give them something to do, there's an energetic there, right? Of what we talked about last podcast with trust. And it's an opportunity for that person to explore something that they might not have quite yet explored, or something that they're actually good at, and they get to practice being better at as you go. And when we look at the word responsibility, it stems to response, right? And it stems to reaction. You know, when we're responding or reacting to an event. And also the greater picture of this all is, you know, when you say that when we have a responsibility, it's like getting a gift. Well, the greatest aspect of life is gift, to be a creator. Hmm. So my perception and energy around, you know, me being here in this incarnation or this cycle or this lifetime is that I'm a creator. And in this creator, I create everything. Mm. I create every event. I create what's in front of me. I create the bad things, the good things, all the things that I get to interact with through the law of consequence. Is that if I become and truly am responsible for everything that I create, then I have the power to respond to it. But mm-hmm. if I take away it, when I'm reacting to what's in front of me, I give my power away.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes away my power or my ability to respond to it. So this is an interesting aspect, because during this, you know, in this game of life, how many times do we react to things and how many times do we respond to things? And at what point, how do we respond? You know, mm-hmm. what do we take from the response? Do we bring anger in? Do we bring jealousy in? Or do we bring grace? Or do we bring cooperation when we respond? So, you know, the greatest responsibility and the greatest gift, as you would say, the greatest privilege of being a creator is being able to respond to what we create, whatever mm-hmm. feedback that comes to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really becomes a choice. So there's something that happens outside of us, and there's, let's call that a stimulus, and then there's a space, and then in that space we have the ability to respond, and how we choose to respond will determine the next sequence of events.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, how do we use that space to choose a, I don't want to say good response, but a, you know, a powerful response, or the right response,
effective
is a good
effective,
word.
Nice. I think, yeah. I think effective is a good word. Yeah. And like, if we react to, you know, I think we're actually required to respond. Because anytime I've reacted to something, I've got the feedback that I didn't complete it. And then that I wish I had the opportunity to respond differently. Right. So most likely that lesson is going to appear again in some other scenario or some other relationship or some other event that I create for myself. So if I'm walking through life, creating all these events to show up and I'm responsible for what I create and that feedback comes back, then I have the opportunity to react or respond, you know, and like, the true essence of the responsibility that, you know, a lot of people are talking about these days, be responsible, like our parents tell us, be responsible, you know, or do you give somebody the opportunity to respond on their own or react? Mm. Like there's no endedness to it. There, like you said, there's no real good or bad outcome. It all leads to either repeating the lesson or responding and changing the trajectory or changing the probabilities of what's to happen next,
mm-hmm.
ultimately unfolding as you go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So how would you, okay, so let's say life is made up of our choices and our habits, which are, like you said, brushing your teeth, is, you know, it's a responsibility for hygiene, you know, which I think is a bit of a code in itself, but we'll get into that another time. So yeah, your life is filled with choices and habits. And then besides that, then random events that roll over, you know, like let's say you're driving and someone gets in a, you know, there's a wreck ahead of you or something like that, or you know, there's all kinds of randomness that's going on, how we react and respond to those random events besides our, you know, what we're choosing to do or choosing to show up or how to place our energy within ourselves and responding to people, how would one be responsible when it comes to random events?
Well, I would first, now what came up when you were saying that and I wrote it down is I would say that reaction is an unconscious act. Mm. A reaction comes from our perception of what we're seeing, right? So let's say, for example, a random car wreck. Let's say it's a certain type of person that might have had I'm a certain type of person that might have been in a car accident when I was younger at some point in my life. The way I respond or the way I react to that is probably going to be much different than somebody that's probably, you know, been a paramedic their whole life and seen it, right? But a reaction comes, it stems from our beliefs about that event or something that we've created in the past. And in that point, it gives us the opportunity to, you know, look at that and have the opportunity to change the reaction to the response. And how you said, move the energy just now is like, how does it feel when you react to something versus how does it feel when you respond to something? One mm-hmm. of them, you're aware and observing and conscious, and then you choose to observe first and then respond after. And that mm-hmm. choice ultimately either leads you forward on a path of being embodied, or it leaves you on a path of continually reacting. And the reacting can compound so much that you're going to repeat the lessons so many times that the event might actually build up to be something very big to give mm-hmm. you. So the soul slaps you and say, hey, now it's time to respond. I think that everything is random, but it isn't, right? Everything unfolds unpredictably, but everything is connected. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's crazy. Like the amount of connections that I'm noticing lately, right? Like the other day I was at the gym with Matt, and the night before I had a dream, and I had this interesting dream about, I had this Porsche. I had one of my old Porsches. Except like all the air conditioning and all the grills and stuff the air comes through was you could see right through it. And I made a joke in my dream and I said, like, look, free, like natural air conditioning. And I laughed. And then I looked in the back, and my friend that passed away in 2015 in Miami, who was he was in the music industry, he was there. And I remember looking at him. I didn't remember much else about the dream, but I knew there was some sort of symbolism. When I went to the gym with Matt the next day, that exact time that I chose to go, we actually went later in the day. When we showed up, there was a new guy that came with a trainer, and it was after usually everyone's there and it's a little area, and he played his playlist. And on that playlist was a song from 2015 that was my friend in my dream's favorite song. It was this exact song that him and I used to argue about. It was a Drake song. It's like running through the six with my woes.
Oh yeah.
Classic. And I used to tell him, like, isn't woes like your problems when you say your woes? He's like, no, it's your boys. I'm like, really? The whole time I've been singing along to this, I thought it was like running through Toronto with my thoughts of problems. Right. But
that's what I thought it was too, to be honest.
But he told me woes was like, and then I looked up on, I think it was, what do you call it?
Urban Dictionary.
And I was corrected. But the chance of that happening, of me having that dream and then going a little bit later, if I, you know, my son woke up a little bit earlier, if, you know, there was a little bit different traffic, or if I didn't show up in that little 5-minute period of time, there was no connection there. And I'm seeing mm-hmm. this all the time. So everything does connect. So every choice that somebody makes, if somebody chooses to react or respond, it's going to set a chain of events that gives somebody else the opportunity to react or respond, which is going to set a chain of events. So it is all unpredictable, but at the mm-hmm. same time, it's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like, totally. then it kind of makes me feel like the empowerment, the more I choose to respond, the more aware I am of this human experience, and the more I get to see it unfold rather than chase it.
Mm. Right. Nice.
See what comes to me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, I see our responsibility, our ability to respond is very much, you know, we're both, you know, entrepreneurs and business leaders. And it's part of running a business is to be responsible. You know, people count on us as leaders and to help teach our team to be leaders as well, so we can trust them and we can give them responsibility and they could learn and grow and step up. And then the word that comes up is similar to responsibility. I want to get your take on it, Ryan, is accountability. You know, so how do you see the difference between responsibility and accountability?
Accountability and responsibility. So I would say responsibility comes from a place of catching yourself, in a place of observation, right? So you have something happen, an event happens, and you can either observe and respond, or you can go unconscious with your programs and react. And then when that moves into being a responsibility as a creator, you know, you either allow the world to unfold as it is and be responsible for your interaction and your showing up late or your reacting or whatever as you come in. And then accountability, I think, is the feedback from the world. Respond is kind of the output. And then the accountability seems like the feedback from the law of consequence, because let's say you reacted in driving, you're driving a car and you reacted and then it caused an accident. So you, even though it was unconscious, or even though you spilled coffee, or even though like somebody honked at you or whatever, like your reaction to that might have caused an accident. Right? And to be accountable for that, you could start going into, no, I'm the victim. You know, it was this guy's fault. He braked a little bit early. The guy made the coffee too hot. You know, the mechanic did this, right? You take your power away. And this is where the victimizer, you know, reversal or mutation that we get to play with in this incarnation comes in, is that when you're accountable, you're accountable for everything that's in front of you, everything that you create, you know, and like, that's a feeling of empowerment. Like, yes, I created this shit in front of me, but I always have everything I need to deal with it in this moment.
I agree. Yep.
Yeah. And then we can get to like, you know, the surface layers of responsibility, accountability, which is, I would say the linear aspect of it is when we talk about be accountable for something that you did, is like a reflection back to maybe a reaction or something that you didn't see quite clearly. And then you can reflect on your part in creating that, right? Taking responsibility for your part creating that, right? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think accountability is the next step of responsibility. So it's like we're taking accountability for our responsibilities, for our ability to respond. And then it's not putting any blame outside on the external circumstances. It's just saying, yeah, it's no pointing fingers, or it's not saying, oh, this person did this, or this happened, or it was raining outside, or it's just taking accountability for the way that you showed up and you're in that situation or circumstance or event, and that was by your choices that got you there. And then I'd say, you know, the only difference is like I could try to keep someone accountable, you know, like you said you were going to do this, so I'm putting accountability on you. And are you going to now respond and take ownership of your responsibility? And that's like the next step, is ownership is a choice of accountability and responsibility. So I see it as like a triangle, you know, responsibility, accountability, and then ownership at the top of the triangle. But I can make someone accountable for their actions, but they have to choose to own their accountability. Mm-hmm. And I can't force that on somebody, you know, that's like an individual choice. But I do believe once, you know, that person owns that, it's very self-empowering. It's like now they're taking ownership, and they've probably transmuted or transcended that victimizer um
Yeah, for that event in particular.
For that, exactly. For just for now.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever been in a flow with a group of people that you're working with, or even a flow with family or a group of friends, where all of these things are actually like easier to tap into and choose than to actually try to be? You know, like when you have something, when you get going in something, and sometimes these are just events, like you have like wins, you know, you have a win with your company or you have a win with something. And it seems like everyone just, you know, responsible, accountability, ownership is wins too. You take ownership for a win too. Like, yeah, I did
really sure.
work on this. I did a win.
Yeah.
But then I think this is the next step to, you know, cooperation and working with people is when it becomes an unconscious, like symphony. An unconscious symphony where everyone's just built up the trust and responsibility and the opportunity or the skill set to understand the people they're working around enough to like be able to not react to a reaction, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when somebody like reacts to you, or even when somebody responds to you, the other person still has the opportunity to give that mirroring feedback. So when that other person responds, how somebody responds back sets this rhythmic like tone between the flow of things. And it's interesting because it's very easy for a reaction to lead to a domino effect of reaction. But if that one domino holds it and like observes and responds, he's going to knock that back. Right. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I'm learning this with my son too. And he's at a stage where he's like, if he wants attention, he's like, give it to me. He's just starting this. Right. And then he gets the poker face from me and my wife now. And then he's like, you know, we respond by allowing him to kind of see himself and how it doesn't work. And then he wanted to get off the couch and he wanted us to get him. And then we just didn't. And then he figured it out. We didn't respond to him and he put his legs down, figured it out. And then we rewarded him, you know, we said, yes, good job. Right. So there's little tiny wins like that, but I can see how those things throughout like multiple years of life, as you grow up, become unconscious, you know, like, let's say I ran to my son and helped him every single time. What does that do when he grows up? Right. So we're always operating on all of these unconscious little programs that we got from when we're a baby. And it kind of seems like, oh no, where do I start with all these programs? We have so many of these programs in us. Like, how do I interact and deal with these? But it's so easy. It's so powerful because you always have power in the present moment. Mm-hmm. Right? When you go back to the present moment and you embody that creator spirit, you always have the opportunity to respond, and it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter what flows through you. And then everything becomes an opportunity to flick the dominoes back.
Mm.
But life is, you know, it's about contrast, human experience. And like, no matter what, we're not going to get to a level where we're responding all the time and we're being responsible and accountable. That it's impossible, right? May as well, I'm not going to say it, but we may as well, you know, not yet, but we have to, life is about learning and growing and moving forward. And we need these challenges and we need to be unconscious. And we need to be, you know, we're not supposed to, you know, go under a tree and meditate for 20 years. You know, maybe people did that to teach us the meditation, but, you know, it's like Nietzsche's Thus Spoke Zarathustra, you know, it is an interesting book where he went away for 10 years up the mountain and then he came back down with a different perspective of what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the contrast of life, and when you kind of look at that and actually embody that, things get a little bit lighter, right? Because like, even though we did react to something, it doesn't mean we need to hold it for too long, right? We made a mistake. Mm-hmm. We got feedback, reacted, we can correct.
Yeah. Correct and move on. You're tapping into it to like the biggest constant of life is change, is that everything will change. And change is the biggest thing or the most constant thing in life, and variables are the most constant factor. There's always going to be an infinite amount of variables and they're always going to be changing, but the code is to just stay centered in that present moment and respond from there. That's where all the power lies. And like you said, it's difficult. It's challenging to stay in that present moment and stay centered and not react to the outside circumstances. But I would say that is the goal, or the purpose, is to stay in the present moment, because that's all that really exists. And it reminds me, is like, responsibilities can also be like a goal. It's our goal to, you know, have these responsibilities, and we can set a goal, and now it's like, okay, it's my responsibility to achieve this goal, and or make these dreams come a reality. And that's the choice. And that's, we could choose whether to be happy that we get to have this, these responsibilities. Like, it's an opportunity, it's a gift, or not. But that's really the choice. And I think that that perspective is really, such a blessing, to just choose that we get to have these responsibilities. Because life can be overwhelming, and maybe we take on what we think is too many responsibilities, but I'd look at the opposite of that and say, well, you definitely don't want too little responsibilities, because then you're just going to have a pretty meaningless life. And I believe, you know, meaning is subjective, but the more things that we get to choose to bring meaning into our life, I think is a way to have a really fulfilling life. Mm-hmm. And the responsibility is the, by having that responsibility, it gives us the freedom to have a meaningful life.
Mm-hmm. Fulfillment, just like fulfillment. Everything leads to fulfillment, you know, and
yeah.
We're fulfilling our desires. We're fulfilling the things that we want to learn. What you were saying, that everything is variables and everything changes, right? And that's obviously very, very apparent in this reality. There's one thing that never changes though. And you tapped into it. It's the present moment, right? It's that's our hosting. While everything moves around and changes and variables happen, our power actually comes from the present moment, because it is the still point. It is the point where we are observing and we act upon all of these changes, or we choose to wait to act, or, you know, as you say, Godspeed. Perfect pace, right?
Perfect pace, Godspeed. Yeah, it's staying in Godspeed. Well, that's a whole other episode for sure. I look forward to that code and sharing that code together. But yeah, Godspeed is the perfect pace. You're on the speed of God, and you're tapped into the present moment. And I'd say, you know, if you're on Godspeed all the time, you're going to be in a constant state of perfect responsibility. Like, your ability to respond is going to be as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm. Because you're carrying the pace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, I think what requires to be on Godspeed are all these virtues, or all these, the word virtue, whatever you want to say, the word's been butchered, but to have all these qualities, you know. And another thing that you said is
codes.
Yeah. To the codes. And, you know, where you said, like, before, I think, the word that we missed out was attitude, right? It's like, yeah, it's attitude's big for me, you know? And like, I catch myself I get in shitty attitudes sometimes. I'm frustrated, playing the victim, you know? Mm. And then I kind of feel this energy or this locking down. And then I catch myself, and it's a choice then to change your attitude, because as soon as you change your attitude, you take your power back. And you take accountability for what you've created in whatever event is intertwined with many other people or another person. And the energy shift changes. It's open. It's open, open, open.
And this 100%.
Is where, yeah, this is where our creator aspects come. Then we get to create from this. And how many times in our past we can look back, I do this a lot. It's like, I go back to the memory and be like, okay, it's that time that I learned this really big lesson, like I had to learn it to get to what I know now or where I am now. So it's probably happening right now again, you know, and I'm choosing to react and give my power away. But as soon as you take responsibility for what you create, then you can create something new that has never been created before. And that's when doors start to open up. That's when things support you on your path. And that's when you remember that you always have everything you need to deal with what's in front of you. That's when we veer off into what could happen, what's going to happen, or what did happen in the past. These are where reactions stem from. And but it's easier said than done, obviously.
It doesn't get easier. We just get better at it. You know, we keep sharpening the skills, and iron sharpens iron. And attitude is a whole other code that we'll get into one of these days for sure, because it's a whole perspective. And, you know, even as a pilot, your attitude is your perception of how you're looking, how the airplane is looking. They call that your attitude. And it's really that in life. And it goes back to what I was saying before. Like, I struggled for a long time in my life with wanting to be right, you know, and I could be very stubborn. You know, I'm a Taurus, whatever that's worth, but Tauruses are notoriously stubborn. But whether that is the case or not, I was definitely had a mindset of like wanting to be right. And that would make me very stuck in my ways. And it was a limited perception. And then when I shifted from, okay, well, I don't really care if I'm right or not, I just am looking for a win-win situation. So, you know, the person I'm with feels like they got to win. I feel like I got to win. And collectively, we got to win for the world or for humanity is the best. But that was a big shift in my life. And that, you know, I'm reminded of that one all the time. And it's always a choice. So attitude is a big code. I look forward to sharing that one. And we're almost out of time here today, Ryan. Is there anything else you want to share on in closing on the code of responsibility?
Yeah, I mean, like we can dive deeper into it another time. You got me thinking about the win-win thing and the not win-win thing, the win-lose, because the world is full of it. It's full of win-lose. And I feel like you have to go through the win-lose lessons to get to the win-win attitude. You know, because that's, you know, even if you win something and somebody else loses, the winning doesn't feel good.
It's a loss. It's not an overall win, you know, from the outside angle.
Yeah. So it's interesting, the energetics there and where they come from and the system that perpetuates that and teaches us that would be interesting to get into. These are the surface codes.
Yes. Yeah. Fundamental codes. We'll get into it.
Awesome.
So yeah, this was a great episode. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with a whole new code.
Yep. Take care, guys.
Thanks, guys.